Dr. Marketing Tips, paging Dr. Marketing Tips. Dr. Marketing Tips, you're needed in the marketing department.
Welcome to the Dr. Marketing Tips Podcast, your prescription to the answers you seek to grow your medical practice easier, better, and faster. This show is all about connecting practice administrators and medical marketing professionals with peers working in practices, learning from experiences, making mistakes, and sharing successes. Let's get started.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Marketing Tips Show. I am Jennifer.
And I am Lexi.
And today I am joined by Lexi. She is our Senior Client Services Manager here at Insight Marketing Group and just got back from Social Media Marketing World, the conference where it's all the conversation around everything strategically and tactically related to social media. So super excited to have Lexi here to talk about what she learned and maybe talk about how we might implement that at your practice. So welcome, Lexi.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
Awesome. So let's get right into it. Tell me first, before we even get started, why don't you tell our audience what Social Media Marketing World is and what, you know, where you went and whatnot.
So Social Media Marketing World is one of the largest social media conferences in the world. It is put on by the Social Media Examiner, and you see social media marketers from around the country and around the world. I met people from Australia, Taiwan, England, you name it, they were there. All from different walks of life, all from different specialties, from different...
Was it just healthcare or was it other practices?
Oh, everyone. It was retail, restaurants, influencers were there. The cream of the crop of everybody was at this conference. So it was really eye-opening to see all these different walks of life from different areas of the workforce coming together and all learning kind of the same thing. So it just shows that social media marketing... you know, it doesn't have to be just specific to healthcare, like it stretches among everybody. So you can use the same tips and trends across the board, no matter where you're at.
Yeah. And I think some of the best things is when we go to things that are outside of healthcare, you get ideas that you can then bring back and, really adjust to make them work for healthcare. So with that in mind, what were kind of like the top level themes that you took from Social Media Marketing World?
Oh my goodness. So a lot of the conversation was about AI and how AI is taking over. You know, but because AI is taking over, you're seeing this trend in social media where it's very important that you're relatable and that you're authentic and that you're personable, because people, because AI is taking over, they want you to be more personable, more authentic. They're craving it. Your users are craving it. So it's important that that is showcased throughout. Another thing I learned about was the impact of short form video. So 75% of adults consume 2 hours or more of short form video per day. Let me say that again. 75% of adults consume 2 hours or more of short form video per day. So it's just going to show how important for short form video is to a marketing plan.
What are they watching that short form video on?
TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You're seeing it across the board. TikTok really changed the game in terms of watching short form videos, but you saw Facebook and especially Instagram now capitalize on that and doing it in their own way. YouTube as well has started short form video called YouTube Shorts because they found that users were no longer watching that long form content that you would normally post on your YouTube channel. You're now seeing people wanting it fast. They want it in under a minute or less. So by having shorts, they're able to consume the same content but in less time.
It's interesting. I was having lunch with a practice manager today, and we were talking about she lives by herself. She's relatively younger still. And she said, look, you know, I sit at night, as soon as I'm done working, I get home, I put on my pajamas and I watch TikTok all night. And I said, you know, is it kind of like you're like instead of TV? She said, yeah, I do this instead of watching TV. I watch TikTok. In fact, I'm embarrassed to say I get all my news from TikTok. So I hope it's actually relevant and real because that has become her new television.
Yeah, it's insane. So it's really changing the landscape of marketing and marketing on social media in general.
That's right. So what else did you learn?
So I actually learned that, you know, having followers doesn't really mean much anymore. Like you don't have to have a million followers. Yes, it's important, but 20% of a person's feed on Facebook or Instagram, the big bangers in the social media world, 20% of those feeds are suggested or recommended. So they have their own algorithm, like TikTok does, that sees, you know, what you're viewing, what you like, what you dislike, what you engage with the most, and it's showing it on your feed. So 20% of your feed is people you don't even follow. So it's even more important to have a presence because of that.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So you work a lot with, on our client side, you do a lot in orthovascular, a lot of ophthalmology and optometry. thank you very much. So knowing that, then which social channels do you think are most relevant that we should be paying attention to, you know, and use the specialties you work with as example?
Oh, absolutely. So I really feel like Facebook and Instagram are still the big ones. Facebook is where you're going to capture your older audience. So with vascular and orthopedic alike, you know, those are an older audience on Facebook.
Be careful how you define older.
Of course. But you're typically seeing the younger generation, the Gen Zers, hanging out on Instagram, where you're seeing the millennials hang out on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's just based on the way it came out. Facebook, when it came out, it was a desktop. So you have all those millennials and older that use the desktop version of Facebook, and then Facebook turned into mobile later. Whereas Instagram, which came later on, was specifically designed for mobile. It was not specifically designed to be on a desktop computer. So then the Gen Zers and younger are hanging out on Instagram. But both have their own means of posts and stuff like that to go out. Instagram especially have the most different kinds of posts that you can do, whether it's a story, a reel, just a regular picture, a carousel, or like the swipe where you have to swipe to get your information. So there's so many different ways to get content in front of people on Instagram as well.
So for the practices you're working with, do you find that most of them are just Facebook and Instagram right now?
Correct.
Great. And if they're really robust in their marketing efforts and have an in-house person, then we find more and more that they're going on to TikTok or really like taking advantage of short form video.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And I find that specialties that are cosmetic and focused, have a cash-based business, things of that nature, we find them gravitating more to TikTok. Or we find individual doctors getting on TikTok who really have decided they're a solo practice or they want to build their brand, and then they're focusing on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. You're seeing all these doctors become influencers on their own. There's a couple we work with that, you know, they're their own brand, just them as the doctor, and then it just so happens they have this practice that they can also market. People going on to be creators on these platforms, and the platforms love it. They want creators, because if they don't have creators, they don't have an audience.
Do you have any specific examples of some of the things that are being created?
Oh yeah, so following some of those trends, and no, the trend does not mean you have to sit there and do a silly little dance. There's a way to capitalize on trends while also still giving patients the education they need. So one of the ones I saw recently was an ophthalmologist doing a silent review of eye drops. And believe it or not, some eye drops are good for you and some are bad for you. So he would sit the boxes of eye drops and either, you know, give it a face like he loves it, or he would smack it away. And it just goes to tell, oh, well, he doesn't like that eye drop, but he likes this eye drop. It was very fun. Some other ones that we're seeing is, I'm a insert specialty.
Oh, we did that for Athletic Training Month.
Oh, absolutely. People love it. I'm an athletic trainer. Of course I have enough tape for the next 10 years. And of course you can never have enough, ice packs, you know, stuff like that. It's fun, but it's still engaging, and it also provides education and it's capturing attention. So I actually have a stat written down. So in 2000, the average human attention span was 12 seconds. When they redid that survey in 2021, that had gone down to 8 seconds, but that's in the real world. Online, it's significantly lower. So now when you're on a desktop, your average attention span on social media is 2.5 seconds. When you're on your phone, your average attention span of a user is 1.7 seconds. So you have that much time before they scroll past you. So you mentioned that practice manager and how she just scrolls and scrolls and scrolls. I call that doom scrolling. I do it. I'm guilty of it every night. Just like she said, doom scrolling, just If I don't like it in the first 2 seconds, I'm gone. Next. So it's very important to capture attention, to reel them in so they stay. Because if you don't capture their attention in 1.7 seconds, they're gone.
I think that's very relevant. I would also say, though, we're not always going to capture attention. So, like, we hit a home run with the athletic training video. I know it doesn't sound like a ton on Facebook. It got literally, like, 3,000 individual people looked at it. That's tremendous for a quick video on social, like, that we didn't pay for. We didn't know if it would matter. And we were able to use that same video on Instagram, on YouTube Shorts. They're not on TikTok, but we would have used it on TikTok. So, you know, maybe 3,000 in one area, maybe 10,000 people total, which was fabulous for this small video. But I just think that video is super important, but not every practice is going to be able to. So if you're doom scrolling and all it is that you notice that it's the practice, it's okay to have things that aren't video still, just from a brand perspective, but you do need to be there and you need to be very consistent in your programming. Let me ask you this, Lex. How important is video as it relates to being effective on social?
Video is very important, but it's not the end all be all. You know, video is very important because it's a way to give information without the user having to work hard to get said information. They don't have to read a caption. They don't have to look at the picture. It is given right to them. They don't even have to think about it. It's being told to them and they retain it. But there are other means to, you know, it can't be the same video all the time. If it's a doctor, a one doctor practice, it can't be the same video of the same doctor talking about
or even be like different topics, same exact setting.
Yeah.
Even the same setting looks like the same video because most of it's on silence.
Exactly. So I really am a big fan of carousel posts. You'll see those on Instagram and LinkedIn as well. So, but on Instagram specifically, carousel posts show up twice on people's feed. People don't know this. So if you have a slide graphic or a carousel with 5 pictures, when you first see it on your feed, it shows the first picture of the carousel. But if you scroll past it, it'll show up again on your feed, or if you end up logging out of the app and logging back in later on, it's going to show up a second time on that user's feed, but it'll show the second slide. So it'll look like a completely different piece of content, but it's the same thing. But it doubles your opportunity to have visibility, to engage with a user, all that good stuff.
All right, so carousels. And carousels don't have to be videos.
Exactly.
So it doesn't always have to be a video. What other kind of social posts are out there?
So stories are a big one. I really like stories on Instagram and Facebook.
What's the difference between stories and reels?
So stories only last 24 hours. So it's very much of like, hey, we took this picture in the office, here you go. And it's only there for 24 hours. And it's its own separate feed at the top of the page. So people can actually click through their stories and it's a completely separate thing from the feed. Reels, however, stay on your page forever. And they show up on your feed, as well as they show up in, there's an area on Instagram where you can click search, and it's like they call it the discovery page, and it shows up there. And that's where doom scrolling can start, because you can click on one reel, and once that reel's over, it'll go to the next one automatically. And whereas TikTok, it'll just keep playing over and over again. So you can just, it just keeps scrolling for you, and you can just keep viewing all these videos. Same thing on Facebook. Reels will pop up in your feed. You'll just be scrolling down and it'll have its own little section in your feed.
Why would you want to post one type over another? Like, as a practice, could you say, I'm only going to do carousel ads or carousel posts, or I'm only going to do video? And would you be successful doing that?
No, because you have to have versatility. You can't make the same thing over and over and over again, because it's going to be retained differently. You want to make sure you capture everybody. So I would recommend videos and carousels, as well as intermittent stories. It's just tossing it up, making it different. And it's that way you're not seeing the same person over and over again. You're not seeing the same type of video over and over again. Because, you know, we can only talk so much about veins or a broken leg or, you know, an eye issue. But if you have a different means of communicating that message, it feels like different content, even though it's the same topic.
So with that said, what if you're a small practice, you don't have that much content, is it okay to repurpose content?
Oh, absolutely. You just have to be smart about it. So that means changing colors. If you're using a graphic, changing colors. If you made a video, change the sound on the video. It'll make it seem like a different video, but it's different music behind it. Another way I've seen this is you know, having a carousel, and then you could have just one graphic that lists out. So say it's like symptoms of eye disease, and it's like five symptoms. So you could do like swipe symptom one, swipe symptom two, swipe symptom three, and so on. You can take that, make it a story where they can click through on your story, click symptom one, click symptom two. Or you can take that, make it one graphic with five bullets on it. Or you can take it, have your doctor sit on camera and be like, here are the five symptoms of eye disease. Boom, boom, boom.
And you really can do all of them. Yeah. You come up with a new topic. You say, these are the four or five things we're going to do for every time we have a topic, and just bust through them.
Exactly.
Is it okay to reuse content, the same content?
Oh, yeah. But again, you have to be smart about it. You have to make sure that it's far enough away from each other. Now, I recommend reusing content because it saves you time. And also, there's an audience that you may have not reached the first time. So this
is especially if everybody's doom scrolling.
Exactly. So there is, you know, there's a message that you're trying to give. You're trying to educate patients with content. So you want to keep educating. You want to make sure you educate different people. So if you have a piece of content you post in April, you know, reuse that piece of content for September. Because I promise you, someone who saw it in April is not going to be like, oh my gosh, they're reusing it. And most likely, you're going to reach a completely different audience.
Another way that we reuse content is we will, so say we go, so May is Arthritis Awareness Month. Well, we have some clients that we've had for years, and we've done a ton of arthritis awareness content. So we'll go ahead and pull it all out, take it, clean it up, refresh it, put it back in there for the month of May, and just start posting, and kind of redoing what you just said. Like, if it was a static post that had five bullets on it, now we turn it into something where you can click through it on stories, or we turn it into a little carousel, or we even make a video out of it. But we just, every year, add to that inventory to have it ready to pop out for the month of May.
Exactly.
I know that my favorite thing about going to conferences is talking about tools and tools that can make your life easier. What tools did you, that really stick out for you to really help you make video or help you reuse content? What was out there for you?
Oh, I love this question. So one that I actually was using before the content, I'm not technically savvy, I would say. And I know a lot of practice managers and doctors, they would say the same thing. They don't want to spend all this time trying to edit a video and add sound and all this stuff. So a tool I really, really like that you can actually download on your phone is CapCut. CapCut is what all the creators on TikTok are using. You've seen a lot of Instagram creators also using it because it is so easy. It is so easy. You can literally edit a video on your phone. We were at a conference not too long ago. I took a video. I edited it on my phone. It was posted within 10 minutes of filming because I was able to clip it down, remove sound, add a sound behind it, add some music behind it, boom, it was done. That was it. So I highly recommend CapCut. You know, you play around with it and you get to know it, but it is so easy to use, and that's the way they set it up. They want it easy to use. Also, if you're posting on TikTok, fun fact about CapCut, they are related to one another. So when you're making a video on CapCut, it is already optimized for TikTok, which means TikTok likes that video. So it's more likely to show up on that For You page, on that algorithm.
That's great. Great information. What other tools?
So I really like InVideo AI. It's another video tool that they talked about. It is an AI tool, but it doesn't involve you using your likeness, your face. So if you really just don't have time to film that video, you can give InVideo AI a prompt saying, I want to make a video for Arthritis Awareness Month, talking about the different symptoms of arthritis. It loads it all up. It'll give you basically a script and stock footage and put a voiceover and captions over it automatically.
It does it in a matter of a couple minutes. I will say, though, it's never perfect, but it gives you enough as a starting point to then go in and adjust the videos yourself. You might have to download it, put it in another program, but it gives you enough of a starting point to be able to do that. And we have a full video team, and sometimes it takes our full video team several hours to create a video. Whereas in something like inline video, you can do it in a couple of minutes, but our team still has to extract it and make adjustments for it, but it can save us half the time.
Oh, absolutely.
What other tools?
So a great tool I also learned about more towards video editing was Opus Clip. So if you sit down with your doctor and you ask him or her five questions, you know, that's a 10-minute video. Give Opus Clip that video and it'll find the 10 best clips for you and clip it on down. Another way you can do that is using ChatGPT, giving ChatGPT that transcript and be like, hey, pull the best five sound bites that'll do great on social media, and it'll give you the exact quotes, and that way you can go in and edit it in whatever software you choose to use.
So you think these are all easy enough to use that somebody, you know, like a coordinator that maybe isn't super savvy in social or video editing, they could do these?
Oh, absolutely. Especially CapCut.
That's great.
I live and die by CapCut.
That's awesome. So I'm a big believer that it's one thing to say, like, we need to be on social media, but you have to know what you're going to talk about on social media, and then it makes it a lot easier. I like to think of social as various channels, just like you would your TV, and you're, you know, flipping through channels on your remote, and you've got a different audience, and so you need to take content, adjust it for that audience, and make it work. And so, you know, however our practices out there think of social media, I don't think there's a wrong way to go about it. There's just getting on a channel, experimenting a little, and being consistent in posting.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything you want to add?
Not this time.
Okay. So with that, I'm Jennifer.
I'm Lexi.
We'll see you next time on the Dr. Marketing Tips Show. Ciao.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the DrMarketingTips.com podcast. If there's anything from today's show you want to learn more about, check out DrMarketingTips.com for our podcast resource center with all the notes, links, and goodies we mentioned during the show. If you're not already a subscriber to our show, please consider pressing the subscribe button on your podcast player so you never miss one of our future episodes. And if you haven't given us a rating or review yet on iTunes, please find a spare minute and help us reach and educate even more of our medical practice peers. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Doctor's Orders.